Hey, J.R. McNair here, Velocity Radio. We are in this place at the Millionaire Mastermind Summit, Grand Hyatt Regency. Have y'all been hearing all this good content that's been coming out of here today? We've had amazing guests on here, but none more than the famous. and I had to put the V on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Kiana Dancy. She is here. In the space with us, comedian, media, actress, and she's running companies, cell phone repair franchises. And
yes,
all this. Tell us you in the house. Say hello to everybody.
Hey y'all, this is your girl D Kiana Dancing. Yes, and I'm in the building with these three fine brothers. Now I see one with a ring, one don't have a ring. Let me see your hand, sound man. Ooh, ain't a ring. Ladies, if you not over here, y'all playing. Come over here and see these brothers. When I tell you, they tall, they dark, honey. You know, dark still in. It's in.
Oh, we ain't went out.
Y'all, well, you right. Some people, dark went out. But let me, I don't like them light, honey. I like them chocolate. Okay, listen. I can't talk to you because you a little red. But listen, okay. And you got a ring on your finger. We're going to leave you alone. Go ahead. What you got to ask me some questions.
Yeah, I'm going to try to ask you some questions.
Look, I'm going to mess around and interview you.
Hey, look, we'll do it. We'll make it work. Listen, like, when I came down into the media area, and I walked up, and I was like, and I said, I know who you are. And she was like, so how you know? Then they said, hey, they need check security. Where you come?
Because we have agents around here, girl. Yeah. Listen, we are in the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and I literally have met 5 or 6 different agents. You would think that the president, Barack Obama, is in here. But, you know, it ain't Barack Obama, but it's the Kiana Dancy. She ain't here. They sent me my own agent. I had a female agent. I don't know the lady's name. She looked strong, honey. And then it was a 2 or 3 agent. So, you know, I needed to know who's in my place, in my presence, in my space, because the people be looking for me.
They be looking for you.
Yes,
you
know they saying? Looking for me.
So you got to be ready.
You got to be
head
ready.
Head on a swivel. That's right.
Head on a swivel. Look at you. What you know about swivel heads and necks?
I know, right? I know. What? We used to, in football, they say keep your head on a swivel.
Did you play? I know you play ball.
Yeah,
Did you play
basketball?
Ball? Basketball? You look long and lanky like a ball player. Yeah, okay, yeah,
you
I
like
it.
You just drop step. Boom.
Right. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? White folks looking. Hey.
Exactly right.
I'm sorry. Let me act right. I don't know who your listeners are.
Exactly right. Hey, look. We're right. We're making right. It happen.
This is business radio.
Hey, business radio. But we got to have fun on business radio. We
yes.
You got to have some energy. And that's the point. You know, when you're in business and you're doing stuff, just period, you need to have some fun. You need
yes.
to enjoy life.
Yes.
So I want to know about you and how you got started, because you do a lot of stuff. But,
I do.
But, you know, where did you first get started? And
so what are we starting? What are we talking about? What did I get started with what?
Well, just period. Like right. Because you do comedy.
I do.
You do acting. You do, you're a radio person. What did you start with first?
So I'm going to give this little tidbit to you that my girlfriend here over here, Nicole, she probably doesn't even know. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, but I started off in the industry as a catalog girl. My mother actually had me modeling for Sears and JCPenney's. Somebody,
wow.
That baby was going to get a check off me.
Exactly.
My mother was like, now look, you going to eat and you going to take all this space in my body. You going to pay me back. So
all day.
She had me. I would be in the mirror posing. And somebody somewhere, I'm sure, should have some photos of me, you know, modeling for JCPenney's.
Wow.
Some people might owe me a check. That might be why they about to go out of business.
Hey, look, for real.
You know?
Right. So I actually.
Be a part of that reorganization.
Right. So I modeled for JCPenney's. I modeled for Sears. And I took tap dance as a child. I also played chess. I was a little prodigy.
Wow.
I was.
That's amazing.
So, let me cut in real quick.
What you got to say, sound man?
I understand that because my mother did the same thing with me.
What'd she do?
Yeah, cutest baby in Detroit.
Yes!
Had me modeling and everything.
You from the D?
Yes, sir.
What up, though? We might be cousins.
You like never said, know.
We, right. Some of my cousins might have came up there and bought some of your people property. Like,
for real.
You can go to Detroit with $10, $20 and own the whole block.
For real, though. That's true.
But I started, I've always been bitten by the industry bug. It wasn't anything that was foreign to me, but I also was in an African dance troupe. Shout out to Chuck Davis out of Durham, North Carolina. He came to Cleveland, Ohio to do a performing arts program called, and it was called Babu's Magic. Okay. And it was an amazing experience for me at 5 or 6 years old. I had to be so disciplined. I would go to school all day and then go to practice and rehearsal all night, come home because I had been working out. And, you know, it was just one of those things that even then I knew, mommy, this is what I wanted to do.
That's right.
And so from there, we moved to Cleveland, Ohio. We moved to Atlanta, Georgia. I've been in Georgia since I was 9.
Oh, wow.
Honey, I'm a peach.
So you from Georgia,
this
really?
I tell people, even though
you were born there, you really from here.
I was born in Cleveland.
Here.
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. I don't know nothing about Cleveland. I go home when people get married or buried. I told people, you make a decision when you want to see me.
Exactly.
Listen, I would never forget. When my grandmother got sick, y'all, and got, you know, rest in peace, Granny. She got sick, and it was cold. And I kept saying, Granny, when you going to die? Don't die in the winter. It better be summertime. You hear me?
Right.
She was like, baby, I'm going to try to hold on. I said, now, it's cold. Hold outside, Granny. But, you know, she did go in the wintertime. We still looking for her. We can't figure out where they buried that baby at. Snow be so high. You hear me? Ain't nobody fooling with that snow in Cleveland, Ohio. I don't go home that often just simply because, you know, my life is so full. But I love my family. I was just there for the family reunion.
Okay.
And then I was there prior to that for a wedding. So, like I said, when people get married or buried, I'm there. But, you know, we move around. Still home, still family.
So when you were six and you were doing what you were doing.
Yes.
Then how did it go from there? When did you start really engaging on the comedic side in high school? Was it in college? I mean, was it afterwards?
No, it was not, actually. I have always been the entertainment of my family. My grandfather, rest in peace, Papa, we call him Dad. Now, don't ask me where that came from. D-A-H, Dad.
Dad.
So,
okay.
Dad, we used to, he used to tell my mother all the time, turn that radio off. I was just talk. And he was like, turn that radio off. What channel she on now? You know. And it was one of those things where, you know, if anybody needed any entertainment, they would put me in front of them. She'll do it. You know,
I
would put everybody in the room, dress up, and I would entertain. I would dance. I would make people play chess with me. I would ballet, tap dance, whatever. I was probably horrible at all things that I was doing, but ain't nobody going to tell the kids she ain't bad. You horrible. You know, they're not going to say that to you. But, you know, I started doing that. But when I moved to Atlanta, I keep saying move to Cleveland. When I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, I actually was still involved with certain things. I was in African dance classes. I was taking acting classes. I was taking modeling classes. I went to John Casablanca's.
Yeah.
All of those things. And my mother was like, you're going to be doing something. She wanted to keep me busy. See, the reason you keep little girls busy, let me tell y'all something. Y'all ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You keep little girls busy so they won't get pregnant.
For real. Okay,
you
yeah.
got to keep them occupied. You got to occupy their minds so they can, because your body start acting crazy at a certain age.
That's right.
You got to keep, and you got to, like, nah, little boys, you stay away from my baby. You know what I'm saying? She had the ballerina play.
You
she
know.
Playing chess. I was like, I don't know if I seen a boy until I was 20.
And 20
I was,
right.
My mom was like, stay away from my baby.
Exactly.
But when I was in high school, I was crowned drama queen at Cross Keys High School.
Okay.
And then from there, I ran track. I was very busy.
Oh, wow.
When I went to Georgia Southern University,
okay.
I fell in love, and it's a reason for all this. Fell in love. I was with my ex from 19 years old to 29. I was with the same man, honey, for 10 years.
Okay.
Lord.
Okay.
And I had so many life experiences with him. Like,
yeah.
That relationship was like enlightening for me. Like, first of all, I went to jail with that man. I went to hospital with that man. It was so bad one time. We got into a fight. So it was so horrible. The policeman came. He was like, I don't know who be who. So both of y'all going to jail. Now, the man didn't put his hands on me, but he shook me. I was like, and he kept saying, I didn't fight her, but I shook her. He was like, well, let me take you to jail. I think that's a law somewhere. You can't shake the people. You know, listen, they put people in jail for shaking babies. I'm going to put you in jail for shaking her. But the lesson in that was, first of all, I wasn't a battered woman, just to be clear. But
okay.
I also I learned so much about myself. I had so many stories about the breakup, and I would call my girlfriends like Kiki or, you know, Keisha, this he did this or this happened. And my girlfriend was like, Kiana, these stories are hilarious. Girl, if you don't tell this on stage, I was like, really? You want to hear my stories? So you want to laugh at all my misery.
That's
so
right.
Once I realized there is something there, I went to open mic. And it wasn't. They didn't throw apples or tomatoes at me.
Okay.
They let me stay, and they asked me to come back. So that's where the stand-up comedy came from. I went to open mic. They loved me. They invited me to come back. And from there, it went from open mic to winning a contest to open for Cat Williams. I had seven. They asked me for 7 minutes. I only had five. But when the people offer you $1,000,
yeah.
you're going to find them extra 2 minutes.
Hey, for real.
Come
I get
on
it.
Now, okay?
I get it.
So that's how I got here. And then when I got laid off, when I graduated from Georgia Southern University, go Georgia Southern, I – was I went to work. I took the LSAT, decided I didn't want to go to law school, and then I went to work with Sony. From Sony, I went to work with Samsung, and Samsung laid me off in 2009. I went to LA and never looked back.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my story in a nutshell.
Wow, that's amazing. So how did you get from LA to back to home?
Child, the people keep calling. Okay, so I ended up back in Atlanta because, you know, for me, Atlanta was already kind of growing with the Black Hollywood thing. Sure. You know, it was happening. But when I was in LA, I was like, first of all, listen, I'm from the South. I like gravy. I like grits. Yeah, I like butter in
too.
My grits.
All
I like
of them. The real butter.
The real
not
butter.
The margin.
Not
real
the margin.
Butter.
You hear me? Right. I like fried pork chop with flour. You hear
hey,
me?
Look,
I
all
want
of
smothered.
It.
I want all I want biscuits. Real biscuits.
Real
listen,
biscuits. Yeah, yeah.
I'm from the South.
Look, for real.
That's the people right. didn't feed you in LA. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? What is this smoothie? It's a chicken
know, right?
in it.
Chicken smoothie.
I was hungry. So LA just didn't never I didn't really take to LA, and LA kept there were so many things that I loved about LA. The weather is amazing. You know, I have amazing friends out there. The, you know, of course, the landscape is beautiful. But mm-hmm. I kept getting called back to Atlanta. There was a lot of projects that I was getting called here. I got casted on a project with Lifetime here in Atlanta. I got called on another project. I went on tour with Earthquake. I was on tour with, you know, Cat. Not on tour, but went on dates with Cat Williams.
Yeah.
I had dates. I went on tour with Country Wayne. Was on tour with Just Hilarious. And all of that was happening here. And then also I got cast on Sister Circle Live on TV1, which is the national syndicated talk show that happened here. And funny story, I actually was getting ready to go to LA when I got the call for Sister Circle Live.
Oh, wow.
And they said, hey, the guy called me from WSB. You know, he was just like, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really know a whole lot about this show, but they're looking for a funny comedian. You've done our show before. You should come do this show. The lady asked me if I knew somebody. I know somebody is you. Boom. So I was like, well, I'm going to LA in the morning. I'm busy, honey. I'm booked. I got things to do. He was like, sis, it was, you know, he was like, listen, if I were you, I would at least can give it some consideration. And I was like, okay. So I bought the good, I had the good Southwest ticket.
Okay,
so
that's
you can
good.
Say, hey, I'm going to come back to it. A little later.
That's right.
So then my car was supposed to be, I'm like moving. My car was supposed to be picked up and shipped to LA the next day.
Wow.
And so I was like, all right, so let me just see what they're talking about. So I went to the meeting. That meeting snowballed into another audition. That audition snowballed into another audition, then a final audition, and then a final casting. Like I got cast to be one of the four female, cast members on the show. So I never went back to LA. I still got clothes in LA. And that was in 2009. The people.
You're probably wearing your clothes right now.
She is wearing my clothes. Look, so from 2009, I went to LA. Then I came back here. I was coming back and forth. So I got cast on the project. I was going back to LA in 2017 and did not go because I got cast on Sister Circle Live.
Wow.
But and it was for my car was in LA forever.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, if you don't put the drop top on the truck, come home. You can keep them shorts.
That's right. Exactly.
Right.
So you. How do you, because, so when you're doing the, so some of your actress work,
uh-huh.
tell me about that when you're doing that and, you know, are you going, what's your main driver? I mean, because I know you're doing your comedy and you're doing your stuff as an actress. Tell me about some of the actress work.
So for me, my goal has always been to take stand-up to the next level. Like, I don't want to drop dead on stage telling y'all jokes. You understand what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So I want to have a body of work that I can be very proud of, but also a body of work that you guys can be proud of. So my goal is have always been to lend and to morph into something bigger than Keanna Dancy. So, like, if I could play, some kind of civil rights icon or some, you know, big, like, Moms Mabley is one of my favorite comedians, if I could be her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the goal is for me to evolve my career to the next level. So if that is, if you can understand, like, no one just wants to be a football player.
Yeah.
If you start at being a football, maybe you go to coach, maybe this, that, and the other. You always taking it to the next level. So I have always loved being on the stage. I've always loved being in front of and behind the camera. So, like, this year, I will close out the year with two movies. Yes. Yeah, so one was that was One Crazy Christmas 2018. It came out this year on BET. And then also Sextuplets on Netflix with Marlon Wayans. Now,
yeah.
I auditioned a lot. And here's the thing. People must understand. You audition a lot.
Yeah.
And when you audition, you need to forget because you'll get in your feelings like, that was my part. No, sis, it wasn't.
Yeah.
If God don't ordain it, yours is not yours.
That's
and
right.
So you have to kind of remove the feelings and get it. You know, I've auditioned. I've morphed myself into this part just long enough to do the audition. And then when you don't get the call back, forget about it.
That's right.
So it's a blessing, but it can be kind of hard because, you know, sometimes when you see, because they do send the audition, they send the breakdown. and they see how much they gonna pay. I'm like, what? I want that money. Mm-hmm. I want all that coin. Right. But then when they don't call you, you call them like, hey, just forget about me, that girl, you ain't get picked. So you had to learn how to audition and forget. So, you know, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, hopefully with my gift of comedy, because it's a blessing to be able to tickle people's tummy and have them forget about whatever they're going through. You know, life is hard.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're all going through something. Like, that's my right. book currently is called Bye Bye Bags, Laughing to the Light and the Low. Right
where,
now,
where can they find it?
They cannot find it right now.
Okay.
it's in our mind.
No. It's in paper. It's actually written. It's written. Let me explain about this book now. So in 20, when I told you I came back to Atlanta, I got cast on a project called Atlanta Plastics. It followed 5 African-American plastic surgeons.
Okay.
I was on that show. I got the bags under my eyes removed. And because, my father gave me those bags. Like, okay. He had bags. I had bags.
Okay.
Now, I used to tell my daddy all the time, now, if you're going to give me some bags, let them be designer. You know what I'm saying? Give me a Chanel, a Louis Vuitton, a little Gucci. You're going to put some bags on my eyes and I look sleepy. How dare you? So I got the bags under my eyes removed. And as I was laying there, because when you have the bags on, when you get the bags removed, you have these covers on your eyes where you can't see. You can't open your eyes for like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't see. So I was laying there thinking, okay, wow, I can't, all the things. I'm going to be beautiful. I'm already beautiful. Yeah. But I'm going to look restful. I'm going to look like I've been, you know, on vacation for 3 weeks. Ooh, I had all these different notions of what I was going to look like once I took the bandages off my eyes. And as I was laying there, the only thing you can do is think.
Yeah.
You know, you can listen to music, you can eat, you can whatever, but you still can't see. So your mind and your imagination goes, you know, go crazy.
Yeah, wow.
So as I'm laying there, I was thinking like, wow, I'm removing the baggage off of my face. I wonder what the baggage in my heart, what kind of baggage am I carrying spiritually? What kind of baggage am I carrying emotionally that I need to let go of? So as I'm laying there, I'm like, I can do this. So I'm a child molestation survivor.
Oh,
so
wow.
And I have not ever carried that baggage in the sense that I couldn't. My mother was good or smart enough to put me in counseling. So that I can be a functional adult when I got to a certain age when I wanted to give it away. And you know, you know what I'm saying? So, but you know, it takes, if you're not aware of that, if she had not been conscious enough to put me in counseling, I could have some issue when it comes to being an adult and doing things, right? So when I was laying there, I was like, well, what kind of baggage do I need to let go of? First of all, I wasn't necessarily carrying the baggage in the sense of what you might think. I was carrying the baggage for my mother. So meaning I didn't really talk about being a child molestation survivor because I didn't want people to think that my mother didn't take care of me or she didn't protect me or she did something or subject me to danger, but that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is my mother did not. She actually thought that she was leaving me with someone that she loved, and it wasn't someone that I just met. It was a person that had been around me for years,
right?
So as I was going through this, and it never happened. It don't happen one time. So the fact that it happened just one time, it makes you think, was he thinking about this the whole time or was this the perfect time for him to do it? Anyway, so while I was laying there, as I was thinking about all the emotional baggage that I can remove out of my life, I started thinking, like, I've lost best friends, I've lost jobs, I'm a child molestation survivor, I have, you know, there's certain opportunities I thought that were mine that I was still holding on to that weren't mine. God said, that is not yours, child, I'm taking it away. It's no longer, it's not yours anymore, or that wasn't yours at all in the beginning. So as I was laying there and I was thinking about the emotional baggage I can heal for myself, the baggage I was healing off my face, I was thinking, hey, I can just drop these bags. I don't have to carry them anymore. It's up to me.
That's right.
It's up to you. Everybody in here carries some sort of bag. You know, that you didn't make it as far in the league as you wanted to, or maybe, I don't know if you suffer from some sort of injury or, you know, some kind of father issue or mother issue or something that's going on in your life that you haven't acknowledged. You know, I need to pay some attention to that because it's hindered my growth somehow. So I really had to make a decision, you know, moving forward, I'm not going to allow this to hinder any of my growth or my joy. So I just dropped the bags. And then once you make that decision that you're not going to let that baggage take you captive or hostage, you now are free.
Listen, we got to add psychologists to the end of that, too.
No. That's right. I've just been through some things, and I just know what it is.
Hey,
and a lot of us are not comfortable talking about our baggage.
That's good.
Because black folks and people, period, but us specifically have a lot of baggage. We don't talk to, we won't go get on the couch.
That's
right. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. I think that's powerful, though. I think everything that you said is spot on. And, you know, I think we have to start looking introspectively at ourselves.
Absolutely.
And just taking a full evaluation of ourselves because we were just talking about with Dr. Pugh about how people don't have balance and they don't ever really look at themselves. They just stay in this tunnel. And then when all the smoke clears, the lights are off and you somewhere and by yourself, then it just hits you.
Yep. Yep. And so, and I'll be honest also, some of the baggage is self-induced. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're so worried about what other people think and da-da-da-da, and we're just not sorting through it. Like, some things you're just going to have to carry. You know what I'm saying? Some things you just, you know, some generational curses you will have to carry for the moment, but it's not forever. You can pray those off. You can decide, hey, I ain't carrying this for y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, now this is grandmama's problems.
Yeah.
You don't have to carry everybody's problems forward. But once you make that decision, right, draw that line in the sand and say, hey, past this line, I'm not taking no more baggage with me. We're going to have certain baggage that's just about just living, but you don't have to carry it all.
That's right.
It's a decision.
That's awesome.
And it's a decision to be happy.
No, it's definitely a decision to be happy. And that's, you know, when I look at you doing the stuff with your acting and with your comedy, all of those things, what made you make a decision to say, now I want to be in a franchise?
Yes.
So
and it's funny because, and there it is also, same thing, you know, I've lost a job where, you know, I was making six figures. I was very, very comfortable. I bought a house. I've owned my house. I bought my first house at 26.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, all of my girlfriends, see, I did my life a little different. I was with the same, through my 20s, I was with the same guy. With my 20s, I should have been out here, you know, kicking it. You know what I mean? But for lack of better words, I was booed up. And it was like I was married. Now, I'm in my age I'm in now.
Not disclosed.
I'm in my queendoms. Yeah, you know, I'm in my queenhood. Yeah. And I'm in this time in my life right now. Whereas, you know, looking around, I'm like, all of my girlfriends are married.
Yeah.
They have children. Yeah. Where I'm like, calling my girlfriends, what we doing tonight? She said, girl, putting the baby down. You know, you know, I'm ready to get, you know. So when I was in a relationship, they were out kicking it.
Yeah.
So my point is, when I lost my job, I said all that to say, I lost my job. And I was just like, you know, I don't want to be in a position where someone can tell me whether or not I eat good or eat at all.
That's right.
So I needed to figure out, how do I really, really take the reins on my destiny? And so it was one of those situations where, you know, if you always, don't get me wrong, and working for someone else and making money off of somebody else is always a blessing. You know,
yeah.
I've been in corporate America. I've seen expense, you know, I've seen, you know, having, you know, expenses, and you can write off this and have, you know, per diem, and, you know, get bonuses, big bonuses.
That's,
you know,
right.
Blessed bonuses.
That's right.
Blessed bonuses.
That's,
you know,
right.
What
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pay for your internet, this and that and other. But who am I working for? Who am I fulfilling? At the bottom line, if you're paying me this,
yeah,
you can only imagine what they're
making.
Getting.
No,
that's
totally.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was one of those things where I had to make a decision that I did not want to be, I wanted to leave a legacy, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then also, I didn't want to be codependent on someone to make sure that I was able to pay my bills. When I got laid off in 2009, I would never forget how that felt. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how I was going to be able to pay my bills, even though I walked away with a nice package. Once I got through that, what now?
Yeah.
You know, I had a brand new drop top BMW. I owned a home. I had expensive taste. I like fine things.
Yeah,
you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
I like tablecloth, fresh cracked pepper. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like butter with coming in little circles and a little, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah,
little
yeah,
shapes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like all those nice things. Yeah. And I eat well, I yeah. shop well,
yeah.
I move well,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? But that costs. So once I realized, I was like, ooh, girl, you got to change your perspective on life.
That's
I like
right.
to order my hair from India. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Right.
I like the good hair.
That's
you know what I
right.
mean? So, and I like to get my nails done. And when I invite my girlfriends out, when you say, hey, come eat, that means that you're supposed to pay for their dinner or
that's
their
right.
lunch.
That's
so
right.
I couldn't afford that, and I didn't like it.
That's right.
So I started researching. When I was on Sister Circle, I started taking entrepreneurial classes and trying to figure out, how do I diversify my portfolio? Because your money shouldn't be all in one place.
That's
you
correct.
Know what I mean? And because apparently there's seven streams of income. When you're a millionaire, the people say, you're supposed to have seven different streams of income. Well, I'm working on mine. You
okay. Yeah.
So when I took the program, I've taken these different classes trying to figure out, like, how and what am I going to do? I knew that I didn't necessarily want to go into a restaurant. I don't like to cook at home.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I don't want to cook with somebody else. Girl, listen, the chicken too chickeny, the tea too sweet, the two way, you know, the fries cold, the too many salt, you know, salt pebbles on it. I ain't got time for it. So
right.
I knew that I was not going to want to do restaurants. And then it's a lot of spillage and a lot of overhead that goes into restaurants.
It's
and people steal
overhead.
Your chicken in the back, you know.
No, mm-hmm. let me tell you, I've owned two of them myself. So.
Right, and you already know. Get,
I know.
Take my chicken out of your pants.
Exactly.
First of all, you're nasty.
Right. You know, I worked in a restaurant at the Comedy Club where they were stealing, taking out, you know, steaks and stuff out the back door. I ain't
oh,
nobody got
man.
Time
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that year, I'll tell you, in 2018, I actually cracked my screen three times.
Oh, wow.
Three times I cracked my screen. And that for every time I cracked my screen, it was upward $350 to get it repaired.
Wow.
And depending on how urgent I wanted, you know, how soon I wanted it back, they charged me for that. So I was like, wait a minute. If I want my phone back today, it's going to be how much? $400. If I want my phone back tomorrow, it'll be what? So when I realized that I was that desperate.
Yeah.
Because when I lost, when I don't have my phone, I can't think. People can't eat. I'm sick, honey. I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't. My brain don't work. I can't even, I don't know. I can't figure out where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I can't check my emails. I don't have a watch. I don't have a, you know, yeah. All the things I need are in my phone.
Yeah.
So then when I realized that, I started asking friends, like, well, how do you use your phone? When do you use your phone? What happens when you break your phone? Everybody had the same, you know, they said the same thing. Okay, so here I am. I took the program. I figured out, coming from Samsung Telecommunications, this will be a great business for me. My mom and I, who was my partner, and my brother, we got into the business. And it's just another stream of income. Now, it has not been easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't
not
keep,
business is
wait
not
a
easy.
Minute, honey. I can't keep a good employee. They steal. They hey, lie. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, I love y'all, but y'all, ooh.
Yeah, no. I
had
it.
One living in the car. I was like, you can't live in your car outside my business.
Exactly.
I come, now, me with a good heart said, come sleep in the building.
Yeah.
Then he brought his dog. Anybody say bring your dog? But it is what it is. And that didn't work either, but you know, you try. I just, what I've learned through this business, you have to remove the emotion.
That's right.
Period.
That's right. Yeah. That's awesome. And so, how do people get in touch with you? I mean, if they want to follow Ms. Dancy, how do they get in touch with you?
So I am the same thing on all social media platforms, and I would love for people to follow me, because you know the people are getting hired and fired for their social media numbers. You know, people are getting cast in movies just because they have large follower, you know, followerships. Is that what they call it?
That's right.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, people can't even read, but they got 10 million people that can follow them, and they feel like that they can move those people to that project. So if you are listening to my voice, I would beg you, actually implore you to please follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. My website is the same. Also, is Kiana Dancy, K-I-A-N-A. Last name is D-A-N-C-I-E. If you don't follow me for nothing else that I said, if you don't follow me for nothing, honey, just follow me to see what I look like. Look at these teeth. I got a gap, honey, and I'm proud of it.
Hey,
you know, follow me down to the Instagram just to see what I got going on.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. She's doing amazing work. I want to ask you a question. For somebody starting out, for somebody coming into maybe in your space or just working in a professional life, what kind of advice would you give to them? You know, what are some of the things that you've learned that you say, hey, you know what, I wouldn't do this, or you should stay this. Give them some wisdom.
So first of all, I don't do anything or start anything or touch anything or take any project without praying. I don't know if you can hear my voice. I know some people may doubt the power of prayer. Some people may not believe. I don't know who you pray to or what you got going on in your spiritual life, but you need to find one. You need to ask him for guidance. And if it's not in his will, it won't be. You could try to activate it on your own strength, but it probably will fall apart. You understand what I'm saying?
That's
so
right.
I would say pray. I used to tell people all the time, I don't care if I found out God was a purple striped goat. You know, hear me? I'm going to pray to it. And that's because I need that for my foundation.
That
for my spiritual guidance. I need that to be sane. Because the way people moving around this world, you don't know who you touch and who it's. I need everything. I need all the coverings. You understand?
That's right.
So I would say pray. Then also have a game plan. Figure out what you want to do. What does that look like for you? If you just want to be a stand-up comedian, you can do that. If you want to have something bigger than you, because eventually stand-up, the business of stand-up itself is changing, whereas it's not so much about how funny you are. It's actually about how many followers you have.
Yeah.
So, and then people's attention spans are becoming shorter. So like if you're on the Instagram, the Facebook, and all those different social media platforms, you know, people are okay with a whole minute, maybe two, maybe five. So you need to be able to capture them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have big personality. You have to make sure that everything that you want them to know, you hit them with it quick.
That's
because
right.
It's not the same anymore.
That's right.
Have a plan. You know, my mother always say, have a 30, 60, 90 day plan. I believe in that. I believe that you should also, you know, absolutely know where you want to go and how you're going to get there. And also utilize your resources around you. You never know. I ask people all the time, what you do, who your people.
That's right.
Where you from.
That's right.
Who you know.
That's right.
Because you don't know who's in the room. You might be one or two people away from what you need. And you're not using them. You're utilizing their strengths. And they can do the same with you. You may have something that they need. We too often are too afraid to share what we know, thinking that somebody else is going to get ahead of us faster. And the thing is, if you're not meant to be there, you won't get there. And if you did get there, you won't stay.
You won't stay.
You won't stay.
So... I had my boy AJ. He asked on the last show, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" I mean, I'm excited. We're excited to see where you're gonna go because you have a lot of amazing things going on. What does that look like? What does success in 5 years look for you?
So
like for you?
That's funny that you even asked that. I had that conversation, same conversation with my mother. I love what I do as a stand-up comedian, but it's not my all in all. I've gotten the taste of being on television every day, and that money is good, and the exposure is amazing, and just being able to reach is fantastic. I know the television is changing. The landscape itself is changing, but my goal is to eventually create and produce more behind the scenes, and also create and produce more in front of the scenes for myself, in front of the screen for myself.
Okay.
I also want to have children. I want to have a husband. Husband, hello, I'm tapping the mic. Hello, 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 you out there? Can you hear my voice? God gonna send me a husband.
Yeah.
Because I am ready to become a wife. I want to become a mother. I feel like I have a lot to pour into a child, even if it's not my child that I birthed.
That's
but
right.
It'll be a child that I may can adopt. I would love to have my own children, but you know, whatever is in God's plans, it would be, as I stated earlier. But also, I will tell you, I'm working on a lot of amazing things, projects that I've produced through my production company, 3D okay. Media Entertainment Group. And then also I've surrounded myself with an amazing team. Shout out to Nicole Roman. Listen, we met over Nicole. Pancakes. You hear me?
Yeah,
and I told her what I was doing. That baby said, I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. So I would say another piece of advice I would tell anybody that's trying to get into any industry, no matter what industry it is, you know, surround yourself and put people on your team that has a heart of servitude, because everybody don't want to be in the background. She is comfortable with being in the back. She's like, I don't want that. I just want to be in the background. Yeah. Don't know. Don't ask me to say nothing. Don't tell. Send me to go tell. Figure out what you got to do. That's what she
right.
want to do.
That's
but
right.
everybody is not like that. Some people are wanting to be you.
That's right.
And
that's
it can
right.
only be one me.
Yeah, no, totally.
I want you to be you.
Be you.
But figure out what it is that you want to do. What's your plan? As we always say, what's your gifting?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? What is your gifting? Because your gifting may not be to be on the camera or be, you know, the front. Somebody need to be in the back.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
right.
So my 5-year plan is to continue to create, create a platform that I can expose, people to my gift. And also I want to make sure that I give a platform for other women to, you know, entertain and elevate them and to celebrate them.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Listen. I love your brothers, but, you know, listen, I got to look out for the ladies.
No, listen, I get it. I get it. And let me say this, though. You're an amazing woman. You're doing some great things.
Thank you.
We're your biggest cheerleaders over here. We're rooting for you.
Come on, root for me.
We're rooting for you.
Because I'm out here dating, and I'm gonna tell y'all, it's hard dating as a woman in the entertainment industry with some morals, honey. Oh
yeah.
Lord, honey, you can't. Because the people, listen, I just told them in there. I said, it's only so much I'm gonna do online. It's only so much I'm gonna do in the world. Period. I'm not gonna take off my wig or my skirt.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Look,
you
look,
gonna
look.
Have to guess. Go have to wait on it.
That's right. That's right.
Use your imagination.
Look,
I'll tell you.
You got to check out the sway of your hips. You got to figure it out. You going to like, hold on, sir. It's going to be a while.
Exactly, right?
Right.
Nah, that's good, though. Listen, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show with us. And we look forward to following you to see those amazing things that you're going to be doing over these next few years.
Yes,
and
yes.
So if y'all... Look, we're going to put all of the social media tags in the post when we go on. Follow her. Because I'm telling you, she's going to be doing some great things.
Am I doing some amazing things?
She's doing
yes!
some amazing things. And Dee's going to take us out. And like I said, you know, but we'll look forward to seeing you the next time on Velocity Radio.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.